You are listening to the podcast of Providence Church in Austin, Texas. We hope this message raises your affections for Jesus and helps you live out the gospel in everyday life.
We have been making our way through the Gospel of Luke as a church. We started with the birth of Jesus, and now we are nearing the end of Jesus' life on earth. And our big idea for this series has been good news for everyone. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news to all people. And throughout our time in Luke's gospel account, we have seen how this good news comes to different types of people. We have looked at several accounts of Jesus healing people, including him telling a paralyzed man to rise, pick up his bed, and walk. It was an incredible picture of what happens when the gospel comes to the sick and diseased. We looked at Jesus' interaction with the Roman centurion, one of only two places in the Bible where it says that Jesus is amazed. And he was amazed by the centurion's faith. It was a picture of what happens when the gospel comes to the outsider. We looked at Jesus' interaction with a prostitute and how he had compassion on her and how he forgave her sin. It was a picture for us of what happens when the gospel comes to the down and out, right, the dirty and defiled. We have looked at stories of what happens when the gospel comes to the poor, when it comes to the demon-possessed, and even when it comes to the wayward prodigal. And in today's passage, we see Jesus interacting with yet a different type of person. Today, we see what happens when the gospel comes to Zacchaeus. To put it lightly, Zacchaeus was not a good guy. We're told two things about Zacchaeus, that he was rich, and that the reason he was rich, because he was a tax collector. Now, being a tax collector in those days was not like working for the IRS, right, where everyone sort of teases you and rolls their eyes, right? Like, look out for the tax man. Right? It's not that Zacchaeus had an unpopular but necessary job. Rather, when it says that he is a tax collector, it means that he was swindling ordinary people out of their money in order to line his own pockets. He's a scam artist. You see, the Romans at this time, they occupied all of Israel. And the way that they paid for their war machine was to levy heavy taxes on any person or entity that they controlled. And their system for gathering these taxes was to hire local Jewish men, men who knew the area, who knew the people, to go out and to collect it for them. Right, these tax collectors were collaborators with the enemy. Right? They were traitors to their own people. As you can imagine, the taxes that they were levying, they were outlandish. It was a crazy high tax rate. But on top of that, these tax collectors were extremely dishonest, and so they would take extra for themselves. And to help them in their efforts, these tax collectors had the soldiers of the Roman Empire at their disposal. Right? They had state-sanctioned muscle behind them. Right? They were not afraid to threaten and even to use violence in order to get exactly what they wanted. Right? They were modern-day mob bosses. Zacchaeus was a bad dude. Right? He was a corrupt traitor. And as such, he was hated by everyone. The Jesus Storybook Bible entitles this story, "The Man Who Didn't Have Any Friends." None. But in our passage today, this man who didn't have any friends is going to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus. Today, we are going to see what happens when the gospel comes to the despised. Zacchaeus is a picture for us of the good news coming to those who are beyond God's saving grace. And so go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 19. Open up there to Luke chapter 19 so that you can follow along in the story with me. To set the scene for us here, Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and they have come to the town of Jericho, which is where Zacchaeus lives. Now, at this point in Jesus' ministry, word about his teaching and his healings had spread throughout the region. And so wherever he went, he attracted a very large crowd. According to verse 3 here in chapter 19, Zacchaeus doesn't know who Jesus is exactly, but he's intrigued. Perhaps he, like so many others, had heard some interesting stories about Jesus, or maybe he just simply saw this large crowd gathering for Jesus' arrival. But either way, Zacchaeus' curiosity had been piqued, right? And he wanted to catch a glimpse for himself. But as we all know, right, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? And so he was blocked off by the crowd. He was unable to see. Not to be deterred and overcome by his curiosity, he runs ahead. He sprints ahead of where Jesus is going, and he climbs a tree to get a better vantage point. Right? Like picture a giant live oak tree, right, with branches that are touching the ground, this massive canopy. Zacchaeus runs and he climbs up in the tree. Now, wealthy men like Zacchaeus did not run like this, and they certainly did not climb trees. Like, I can't remember the last time that I climbed a tree, or ran for that matter, right? I'm not even sure what would make me want to run at this point in my life, but Zacchaeus, he runs, he climbs up in the tree. This was seen as undignified behavior, right? And so it was sort of a covert action that Zacchaeus was taking. He knew that he was despised and hated. And so by climbing this tree, he could sort of just hide away and preserve his anonymity while still providing a good place to take in everything. Jesus continues making his way through the town. And just as he came alongside the tree where Zacchaeus was hiding, he stops suddenly. He looks up. And along with every eye in the crowd, he spots Zacchaeus. And with his dignity now completely shattered, Zacchaeus was exposed. At this point, I sort of imagine the crowds all started snickering and reveling in his misfortune of being caught in such embarrassing circumstances. Maybe they're even anticipating Jesus rebuking this slimy cheat of a man. But as Jesus opens his mouth, he speaks very different words to Zacchaeus. Look at verse 5. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Instead of rebuking or condemning Zacchaeus, Jesus invites himself over for dinner. And the gasps of shock must have just spread like wildfire through the crowds. Now, you have to understand what is going on here. In this culture, not completely like our own, opening up your home to someone and eating together was seen as an act of deep identification and solidarity. Right? This is much more than Jesus just needing a place to stay for the night. This was an expression of communion and affinity and fellowship. When you welcomed and ate with someone and who you ate and welcomed into your home, it signaled to everyone, right, your alliances. It communicated that you approved of them. And so a moral teacher like Jesus, inviting himself to stay in the home of a traitorous crook like Zacchaeus, is just an unheard of scandal. Right? In the eyes of the crowd, this was not only an act of defilement on Jesus' behalf, but it was also an act of deep betrayal. Right? And as a result, verse 7 says that they began to grumble against Jesus. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. That word sinner means someone who is devoted to sin or someone who is especially wicked. Right? The reaction of the crowd clues us in to the fact that something scandalous is going on here. Who's someone that maybe if your best friend was like unapologetically buddying up to and embracing, that you would begin to think poorly of your friend and even maybe question the friendship? Who's someone like that? Someone involved in something unforgivable in your eyes, like a drug lord or a pimp maybe. Someone like Jeffrey Epstein. Or maybe a slimy scam artist who preys on the weak and the elderly, someone like Bernie Madoff. Or maybe a duplicitous church minister who uses religion for their own financial gain. Can you think of someone like that? And can you imagine the bewilderment and the betrayal that you would feel from your friend? That's sort of what's going on here. In inviting himself into Zacchaeus' house, Jesus is identifying himself with the most despised man in town. Now, I want you to notice two small but important details in Jesus' invitation to Zacchaeus. The first is that Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. Don't miss that. When Jesus came to the tree and stopped, Zacchaeus naturally would have, his body, his muscles sort of would have just tensed up. Remember, he was trying to remain hidden. And so sheer panic must have gripped his soul as Jesus and the crowd lifted their eyes and spotted him. Right, Zacchaeus, the man who was hated by everyone in the city, braced himself to be a further source of ridicule. And so, when Jesus calls him by his name, Zacchaeus, it was a hint of grace. You see, despite the fact that these two men had never met before, this man who had zero friends was known by Jesus. And it shows us that this is no accidental meeting that is happening here. And then notice that when Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' home, he did not say, "Hey, I would like to stay at your house tonight." What does he say? He says, "I must stay. I must." What we begin to see at this point in the story is that Zacchaeus' seeking of Jesus and Jesus' seeking of Zacchaeus were both sovereign works of God. This chance encounter at a sycamore tree was actually a work of divine providence. Maybe you are here this evening with little more than a passing interest in Jesus. At best, you have sort of an idle curiosity towards God. Maybe you're even pretty skeptical towards God. But perhaps what you intended to be little more than a casual glance Jesus' way is actually a divine appointment. I want you to know that, like Zacchaeus, God sees and knows you. No matter your past, no matter what you have done, God sees you, and he is calling out to you today. He knows your name, and he is calling you so that he might come into your home, into your life. Maybe you're here and you're looking to get a glimpse of Jesus, but subconsciously, you're sort of hiding from him as well. Maybe you're hiding in your wealth and your comfortable lifestyle. Right? Comfort is just one of those things that so often clouds our vision. It keeps us at arm's length from Jesus. Maybe you're hiding in your busy schedule. Right? Busyness seems like it's the modern day mark of significance, isn't it? Right? But busyness, or even just the impression of busyness, is often just one giant distraction that we're seeking to hide behind. Maybe you've come today and you're hiding behind your religious activity. One of the most effective ways of hiding from Jesus is doing so even as we try to follow all of God's laws. Many of us have come here today and we would like to see Jesus, but you know, we really don't want him to see us. But the good news of the gospel is that even when it seems most unlikely, Jesus stops and he calls us by name. He invites himself into our homes and into our lives so that we might feast with him. Jesus, wherever you are, Jesus is seeking after you today. And the question for all of us is, will we come down from the tree? Zacchaeus thought that he had climbed the tree in order to see Jesus without being seen in return. But in reality, he climbed that tree so that in seeing Jesus, Jesus would see him. And his life would forever be changed. Look with me at Zacchaeus' response to Jesus' invitation in verse 6. It says that Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received Jesus joyfully. The word used there for receive is the same word that Jesus used back in Luke 10 when he sent the disciples out on mission and he gave them this instruction. He said, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. When it says that Zacchaeus came down and received Jesus, it's saying that the kingdom of God has come near. And what we see here is that when the kingdom of God breaks into a person's life, it produces joy. Right? The shame and embarrassment that drove Zacchaeus up the tree has now been replaced by joy. Right? Like a child, right, receiving an ice cream cone, or an athlete receiving a championship trophy, or receiving a free vacation to the resort of your choosing. Right, to receive Jesus is to receive joy. And to culminate his joy, Jesus says this in verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house. This is the first time the word salvation has been used in Luke since the very first chapter. And it's the only time that it is used relating to a person's actions. And so you know that something very significant is being said here, something core to the very heart of the gospel. Quite simply, proclaiming that salvation has come to Zacchaeus is the most improbable thing that Jesus could have said. Zacchaeus, as we have already established, is a man addicted to money. Right? And so even according to Jesus himself, he is the last person that you would have expected to be saved. Just one chapter before this one in Luke 18, Jesus is approached by a rich ruler who asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus responds to this man by saying, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. A camel was the largest known animal of the day. And so the thought of a camel, humps and all, being pushed through the tip of a needle was widely understood as a humorous illustration of the impossible. Right? It's like saying, when hell freezes over or when pigs fly, right? Meaning, it ain't happening. Throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus repeatedly makes the point that it is categorically impossible for a man or woman who trusts in riches to enter the kingdom of God. And that is exactly who Zacchaeus is. He's a lover of money, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to get it. And so when Jesus proclaims that today salvation has come to this house, he is saying that the impossible has just occurred. He's saying that the camel just went through the eye of the needle. Salvation coming to Zacchaeus. Listen, salvation coming to Zacchaeus is proof. It is Jesus telling us that no one is too far removed from God's saving grace. The good news of the gospel is that God saves sinners through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And this good news, it's for everyone, without exception. The salvation that only comes from God is available to all who receive it, even a man like Zacchaeus. We need to hear this. We need to hear this. There is nothing that you have done. There is nothing that you can do that will put you outside the reach of God's grace. Listen, Christ Jesus suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that he might bring us to God. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation made possible through Jesus is available to us all. Amen? It's good news. For many of us, we hear that word salvation, and our mind immediately jumps to heaven and eternal life. We tend to think about salvation in strictly future-oriented ways, right? And that is a very important part of salvation. But I want you to notice the timing of the salvation that Jesus brings to Zacchaeus. What does he say? He says, today, salvation has come to this house. It doesn't come at some far-off point in the future. It doesn't come when we die. It comes today. You see, salvation is not just a future hope. It is also a present reality. And look at what happens in someone's life when they experience the present reality of salvation. Verse 8, look at verse 8 with me. Zacchaeus stands up in front of the whole crowd and he makes this just remarkable declaration. He says, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Zacchaeus was addicted to money. And as a result, he had a lot of money. But in reality, his money had him. It controlled him. It ruled over him like a harsh slave master. But when salvation comes, Jesus says, it brings liberty to the captives. For Zacchaeus, we see that when Jesus comes into his life, the idol of money no longer possesses his soul. Zacchaeus has been saved, and the liberating joy of salvation is coursing through his soul. Instead of stealing and cheating and abusing power to get riches from others, Zacchaeus now commits to using his riches for the good of others. He commits to give 50% of everything he had to the poor. This was far beyond any normal expectation. And then he says from the remaining 50%, he pledged to make restitution to the tune of four times the amount he had extorted. Zacchaeus had cheated and impoverished many people. And now he placed his entire fortune in jeopardy in order to make things right. Jesus completely flipped Zacchaeus' life upside down. He's a totally, a radically different person. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, if anyone is in Christ, if Christ has come into your life, then you are a new creation. Right? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. Right? The old Zacchaeus, the desires that formerly ruled over him, had been replaced with a new set of desires. Right? Jesus gave Zacchaeus a new heart, and from that flowed a completely new set of actions. And look, this is what happens when Jesus comes into someone's life. This is true salvation. Like, this isn't just a story about what happened to Zacchaeus. This is a picture of what happens when salvation comes to anyone's house. Right? When Jesus finds you, he sets you free from the sin that enslaves you, and he releases you to a life of sacrificial generosity. He gives you a new heart and a new way of living. And again, notice the fruit of the Spirit that accompanies this new kind of life. Joy. Zacchaeus hurries down the tree. He doesn't waste any time. He's like a kid on Christmas morning, and he receives the Lord joyfully. To be freed from a love of self and saved to a life of loving and serving others is to experience the joy of salvation. Have you experienced that kind of joy and transformation in your own life? Are you experiencing it now, today? Is your experience of God's grace changing the way that you relate to the things that you love most? Has Jesus coming into your life loosened your grip on the things of the world? And one of the surest ways to know, one of the surest ways to tell this is, are you growing in sacrificial generosity? Jesus' repeated emphasis in the Gospels is that although generosity is not a means of salvation, as we see here with Zacchaeus, it is an evidence of salvation. In fact, generosity and giving are pillars of our discipleship. No one truly follows Christ who has not learned to give. What is it for you that is hardest to give away? Is it your time? Do you struggle to make time for others? Do you rule over your schedule with an iron fist? Is it your gifts and talents? Ephesians 4 says that your gifts have been given to you in large part for the building up of the body. Right? And so are you using your gifts to sacrificially and generously build others up? And then let's all be honest. We all struggle with giving away money. And the bent of our heart is to make passages about giving something that we can more easily attain. Right? We read stories like the rich young ruler and stories like Zacchaeus, and we're like, yeah, you know, this must be some sort of like spiritual metaphor that Jesus is giving us, right? Like, thank goodness God is not calling me to do this. Wrong. God is calling each of us to this kind of life. He's calling all of us to give up our love of money. And the way to do that is through generous and sacrificial giving. And cynically, you might be sitting there and you're thinking, I knew it. I knew it. The pastor's after our money. I'm not. I'm after your joy. When Jesus comes into your life, you find true riches in him. He becomes the great prize of your life. And so why would we want to settle for anything less than the joy of following him? The account of Zacchaeus' changed life, it ends with this great summary of Christ's mission. Look at it with me in verse 10. Verse 10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, from everyone else's point of view, Zacchaeus was beyond salvation. He had turned his back on God's word. He had turned his back on his own people. He was a participant and a beneficiary of Roman oppression. He was a traitor. He made his money on the backs of his own people. He was a modern-day drug lord, a mob boss. He was the cause of so much injustice. Zacchaeus was utterly lost. He was lost to his family, lost to the religious leaders, lost to the community, lost to whatever friends he might have had. He was lost, lost, lost. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, even a man as lost as Zacchaeus. And Jesus is seeking us today as well. He is calling to all of us today. Come down from your tree. Come down from whatever it is you're hiding behind. I want to feast with you. I want to be near you. I am the Son of Man, and I died for you. Come down. You might be thinking to yourself, you know, I'm too far gone. But if you just knew my heart. But Jesus says to you, I will give you a new heart. I'll take care of it. I will put a new spirit within you. Come to me. And the question for each of us today is, will you come? Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Providence Church. For more resources and info, visit us online at www.providenceaustin.com.